Read of God's Word, the book of John, chapter 11, if you would with me. John, chapter 11. I appreciate each and every one of you being here. My title today, I just need to make a little change for the guys in the back. Sometimes the Lord works on my heart. My title for the message tonight is God of Life. If you would, please, John, chapter 11. I'm going to read a couple verses in John 11, starting verse 25. The Bible says this. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Amen. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believe thou this? Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. And again, thank you for the blessing it is to be in your house. I pray now, Lord, to bless the message today. May it bring honor and glory to thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to me, to the Son, to have life in himself. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God, who made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in the temple made with hands, neither worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath, and all things. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. But it is now manifested by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. So he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. God is life. We all live through him, and all life is preserved by him. He is the creator of all things, even life itself. Philip Henry used to call the Lord's Day the Queen of Days, or the Pearl of the Week. He observed it accordingly. His common salutation towards his family and friends on Sunday mornings was that of the primitive Christians. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Making it his chief business on that day to celebrate the memory of Christ's resurrection. And would sometimes exclaim, every Lord's Day is a true Christian Easter. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a fact. The Bible says it in 1 Corinthians, but in chapter 15, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. It is a historical fact. As such, it is proved like any other historical fact by the testimony of competent witnesses and by the witnesses of related facts and results of a fact. But it is not only spiritual fact, but it is also a spiritual fact. It is a spiritual force in the lives of men. Can you believe it? But it is spiritual force. Through fellowship with the risen Christ, men rise from the dead in sin to a life of holiness. In other words, transformation of mankind shows forth his life. In Christ, the believer is risen man. Not only in fact, because I live, we shall live also. Ye shall live also. Jesus proclaimed to all believers, men have ever nursed and nurture the thought of life beyond the grave. It is a sort of instinct of humanity. The thought is as old as the heartbeat and nature of man. And if he, Jesus, did not rise, then our preaching is vain, according to 1 Corinthians. And if he did not rise, then our faith is fruitless. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. If he did not rise, then forgiveness is a failure, and we have a future that is fearful. Then they also which are asleep, fallen asleep in Christ, perish. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. I praise the Lord that he did rise. And I'm looking for that blessed hope of him coming to take us home and be with him forever. God is life. What kind of life does he bring? Or where? If you would please mark in chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Now the problem that we have in our communities today, and especially I can only speak of America. I don't know much about other nations, but I do know missionaries and pastors call me that are in other nations, talk to me about what's going on Man, I've heard from Belarus, Kazakhstan, Vanuatu, Thailand. I have heard from Brazil, Mexico, South America, Chile. I've heard from Alaska. That's not a foreign country, but it seems that far. Amen. But I've heard from all over the world. Japan. We had somebody in Japan that we knew years ago. We didn't support him, but we knew him. Scotland, Wales. All over the world, Africa's countries in Africa that we've heard people, preachers tell me that about God, people that believe in and trust in Christ and believe in God. God is life. You see life, there's a God, there's a creator, there's an architect. Someone started that. It's not something that just, go ahead and spill that ooze on the table and see what happens. Oh, I'm sorry, it takes billions of years. Hogwash. Come on, hogwash. The oldest two living things on the planet are exactly what the Bible says they are from the flood till now. So we already have it. We have too many things. But God is right. How? Look at chapter 2 of Mark, verse 1. It says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. This is one of my fun verses. I love reading this. It's like if Elvis shows up. Elvis is in the house. Well, Jesus came now. First of all, in our homes. It's great that Christ can be life to the home. Amen?
You remember the widow in the book of 1 Kings in chapter 4? She's going to prepare. I mean, she's getting creditors coming and everything. No, she's going to prepare. Sorry, this is the one who's going to prepare a meal. I just need to think about it for a second. Give me a second. And this is the one that had no oil. And he said, get the kids out. And the kid dies. Remember the kid dies? He raises him again. This widow woman had nothing. And the kid dies. Jesus, God showed up. Amen. You remember the ruler Jairus when his daughter, 12 years of age, is dying, and he's taking Jesus to the daughter to raise her from the dead, and the messenger comes and said, trouble not the master. Trouble not God the Son. Trouble him not. She's already dead. Jesus looked at him and says, only believe. Come on, amen. Went to the house, got everybody out there, but a few apostles and the mom and dad, and said, made her rise, and she rose from the dead. Amen. Jesus, get in the house. God gets in a house, things happen. You have a home that's kind of confused and just has no hope, or you're having problems in your home, put God in there. Amen. Something happens, it brings life to that home. It will make that home better. The lame man, you remember the lame man? This is it, Mark chapter 2. Couldn't get there. He even came to the door and they couldn't get in. So they opened up the door and dropped him in. Why? They needed to put him where God was. I did a message years ago called an eight-legged bed. Most beds only have four legs. This one had eight. The Bible says he was born of four. So four guys got on each side, four different sides in a bed, and took him to this Jesus. He found Jesus was in the house. Life was in the house. This is the same Jesus that raised people from the dead. This guy's broken up. We're going to drop him in there. Boy, the Lord gave life to them bones. That guy rose up. Remember? They all looked at him and says, oh, you can't forgive sins. He goes, which is greater saying? What's easier? What is easier to say? Thy sins be forgiven or rise up? Bones, get life. Get up. He goes, to show you that I can forgive sins, rise and walk. Why? Because that's harder. I could say, oh, your sins are forgiven. We have priests, pastors all over the world telling people their sins are forgiven. I don't have power to forgive sins. Only God does. But I do know one thing. I have said arise and walk many times and the person is still laying on the ground. Because I'm not God. God's the one that does that. God is the one that does that. So we need to keep that in mind. I remember once I had a real bad flu. This is many years ago. That's the last flu I had. I mean, I haven't had a flu since. I think it was 1985. I had a really bad flu, a little bad cold. I went to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, I'm going to tell you, we can't cure colds. Only God can. I want to listen to this doctor. Well, tell me what you can do. He goes, well, I could give you some medicine, and in a week you'll get better. But if I go, I said, what happens if I don't get the medicine? He goes, it's going to take you 7 days. I kind of smiled at him and goes, yeah, we can't cure colds. I said, don't give me the medicine then. Amen. I didn't take any medicine. I went home and suffered through it for 7 days, but I'm better. Just take my word for it. Okay. Remember the guy at the pool, the same thing, the man at the pool. The Bible said they stirred the water, and whoever stepped in first, the angel came down and stirred the water. When God sent an angel to stir water, whoever stepped in first got healed. With this lame man sat there for years. And Jesus came up and says, right? He goes, what's wrong with you? He goes, I'm lame. Well, rise up. I have nobody to carry me to the pool. I'm the one that sent the angel. I got this. Rise up and walk. Amen? God's the one that does. When he comes up in the heaven, the dead man in Luke chapter 17, I mean chapter 7, they're marching. This kid just died. This man just died. The mom's crying because that's her only son. Jesus sees it and walks up and goes, rise. And he rose from the dead. Man, I'm telling you, when God shows up, things get alive. I don't like going to churches that are dead. I was Catholic, went to Catholic church as a kid, went all the way up until I was about 12, 13, and I couldn't tell the difference between a wedding and a funeral. They were exactly the same. The only thing different is, I think, the man and woman up front were alive. Other than that, it's just, and someone said, well, they're both funerals. Oh, no, that's horrible. But I'm going to tell you, I like churches that are alive. What? If God's in the house, we ought to be happy. God's in the house, we ought to be having something to live for. You come to church and all you're going to do is get chewed out, cut down, and smacked, to give you no hope that I chew you out, cut you, and smack you, but I give you hope. Amen? Because there's life in God. There's not always just death and somber and all this poor world. We're not victims. Amen? Now, remember Lazarus? They sent somebody to go get Jesus. Jesus waited 2 whole days. And she's all upset. Martha, all upset. That's what we're talking about in John chapter 11. Martha's all upset. If you'd have been here, he would have been alive. Because you could have cured his sickness. Limiting God. God, you can help me get well, but you can't give me life. If you're standing there, I can. Because I did. If you're alive, it's because God wants you alive. He made you alive and he wants you alive right now. You're here today because God wanted you to be here today. You're having this sermon because God wanted you to have this sermon. Because I had another sermon. And the Lord goes, nah, this one. So you're going to hear this sermon because God wanted you to hear it. If I would have done the other one, I would have said the same thing. I just prayed and asked God. He said, no, this one. I had 2 of them up here. I don't know which one. He gave me one. Lazarus, he's going to die. Okay. He waited. And then he said, oh, he's dead. And then, oh, why are we going then? I mean, he's asleep. I'll wake him up. And Christ, if you know Christ as your Savior, say amen. Amen. You are only going to sleep. Amen. Then the Lord's going to come and wake you up. That body will die, but you are only asleep. He's going to wake you up and take you to the glory someday soon. Amen? Give you a new body. But dead, Lazarus, he walks up. Lazarus, come forth. Why did he say that? Because if he would have just said, come forth, the whole place would have rose again. So he's very specific. Even the early church understood this in Acts chapter 4, that God, when God comes to home, something happens. Go, if you would, please, the book of Psalm in chapter 4. Let's see the second thing, not only in homes, but God brings life. God is life. And look, if you would, at Psalm in chapter 4. Psalm chapter 4, if you would, please. The Bible says this. The Bible says, stand in awe. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed. And be still, Selah. That word Selah, that phrase in the Hebrew basically means, what do you think of that? Okay? Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any God? Lord, lift thou any good. Lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart. More than in the time that their corn and their wine is increased. Listen, not only do we see in the homes, but also in the heart. One of the things us Christians need to work on, happiness. Like I said, since COVID, I've seen more Christians sad than I did before COVID. All my years I've been saved, we've had problems. I don't know if you do know this, before COVID, we had Obama. Before COVID, Obama, we had Clinton. Before Clinton, or in between Clinton, we had the Bushes. Yeah, we're not talking about, I mean, that's just potato, patata, amen? The same rotten apple, just different parties. But all I'm telling you is this, government hasn't been good since we started our government. The only thing difference between now and then is God was involved back then. Now they just threw God out. Back then they had the Bible. They were all being taught Bible in school. All their reading was the Bible. All their morality was the Bible. And so they had godly, that's why we have godly constitution. You read the constitution, it is a godly, fair constitution. When we start wanting to alter that, which you're doing today, it's made Christians unhappy. Put God back in there. Get some life in you. Get some gladness in you. If you would, chapter 13 of the same book. Chapter 13 says in verse 2. Chapter 13 verse 2 says, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep. The sleep of death. Let my enemies say, lest my enemies shall say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoiced when I am moved. But I trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Amen. So not only gladness, but some rejoicing.
Now, I do not believe that we ought to let the flesh overcome us and we start flopping all over the floor and start throwing our skirts above our heads, especially you guys. First of all, don't have a skirt on. But secondly, don't throw it over your face.
But I've been to those churches where they go nuts and people dancing and jumping all over the place. It's all about them. Someone told me, you want to know if the Lord's here? Turn the lights off. See, if they don't, if no one can see them, see how they stop. If it's of the Lord, it should go whether it's light or dark. Amen? All I'm saying is we ought to get some more rejoicings. One of the reasons it really bothers me when I look out at a congregation, I see someone not singing. Now, I think of two things why they're not singing. I assume they have a sore throat and it hurts to sing. But probably they think, I can't sing or don't want to sing. Now, listen to me very carefully. Everybody can sing, some good and some bad. But everybody can sing. And I guarantee you this, between where you're sitting and glory, there's a filter. And God hears good singing. Whether you can sing good or not, God hears a good. Don't worry about that person next to you doing this. Amen. Don't worry about that person. They have a problem, not you. You just keep singing along. Amen. Make a joyful sound to the Lord. We should rejoice. The Lord saved your soul. Get this. If you're saved today, you're not going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. You're not going to spend eternity where you're total darkness all the time and you're suffering and pain and rejection because you rejected Christ. He put you down there. It's not because you sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's because you won't accept Jesus and what he did on Calvary's cross. And because of that, you're going to spend eternity in a lake of fire. There's no friends there. There's no party in there. It's nothing but suffering and pain and anger. And the fire is not quenched. It burns you, but it doesn't destroy you. And you can't cry out, help! You could, but nobody's there to help. All the times you came to church and said, I ain't going to believe that junk. I'm not going to repent. I'm okay. He's a crazy Baptist. You'll be doing that in the lake of fire. You need to praise God you got saved and you're not going there. Amen. There ought to be some rejoicing in that. Amen? Amen. What happened to us? Come on, let's be honest. If something happened to us Christians, we ought to be happy about that stuff. I don't know about you. I rejoice that I have something in me called the Holy Spirit that when I want to do wrong, someone goes, stupid, stop. Amen? I praise the Lord for that. And when I do wrong and I say, I'm sorry, that same Spirit goes, good for you. And helps me out for the next time. Come on, because I will. Just like you. Make mistakes. Number three here, look if you would, Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. What does it do to our heart? When God gets in the heart, wow. Romans 5, right back to you. New Testament, Romans chapter 5, if you would please. This is weird. I got the cup of water on the floor. It'll get back in shape next week. Romans chapter 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have, here's the third one, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein ye stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Wow. Peace. Peace. Some of you are here today, and you've been in a home where there was no peace. Struggles. I was telling my wife, I told her, I lived in a dysfunctional, is not the word for a home, it's disruptive home. All my existence up until I was 13, I lived in a bad home situations. Dad gone working all the time. I think he did that to get away from his wife. If your husband's working all the time and going fishing all the time and staying away from home, there might be a reason. Maybe he don't like to come home to you. Fix yourself. And husbands, stop doing that. That's not the way to love her. Amen, ladies? Fix it, husband, so you want to come home. I always wanted to come home. But anyways, I lived in a horrible home. My wife, I told her, you lived in princess land. She had two sisters, and they were three princesses, treated like gold. Man, and we had a bad home, fighting all the time, arguing all the time, yelling all the time. My second mom beat us. I mean, beat us. Not two swats on the rear end with a paddle. I mean, beat us. I remember those. You remember those? I have none in my home because I hate them. Those wired hangers. Cross my arms, cross my legs. All the time. My mom, big whelps. Mean woman. Mean. We wanted to escape her like crazy. There was no peace. My dad divorced her and we went, ding dong, the witch is dead. The witch is dead. We started singing that song. Us three kids, or four kids that went with dad. She took her three kids and we went. And he got remarried. And my dad says, why do you like Darlene? I said, she cooks fried chicken really well. I know nothing about it. She could cook fried chicken. She's a good woman. And I found Jesus. February 4th, 1973. Well, peace came to the home. God, my dad got right with God, got baptized the same day I got baptized. God came to our house. Peace came to our home. Peace came to my heart February 4th, 1973. What a blessing. Amen? Peace. Not only that, if you are back to the book of Psalms, I'm going to apologize for a little bit for it being back to Psalms. I should have done that first, but this is important. Psalm, if you would please, in chapter 38, Psalm 38. If you would with me. Psalm, the book of Psalm 38, verse 15, the Bible says this. Psalm 38, verse 15. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. Listen to this, if you would please. The Bible says this, if you would please with me. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, 1 Thessalonians, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. See, listen, I know people myself personally that I go out and visit, talk to from time to time, do business with. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in the Bible. And I sit down with them. I say, okay, they're always frustrated. Disillusioned. Sometimes they get happy. When things are going well, they're happy. When things are going bad, they're unhappy. When things are going prosperous, they're joyful. When things are not prosperous, they're sad. That's not the way a Christian life should be. We should be hopeful every day. Joyful every day because we have Christ. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Amen? So I tell them, I say this, I go, hold on a second. So what is the end result of your life? Worm food? You're going to die? Get all the gusto of life because after this, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Where's hope in that? Come on, amen? Where's any hope? But my Bible says the Lord himself, with a shout, the Lord shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Amen. The trumpet shall sound, and they who are dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. And we which are alive and remain shall be gathered up together with them in the clouds. That is a blessed hope. I tell them all the time, okay, I'm wrong, you're right. We both are worm food. Who lived a hopeful life all his life? Me, yours, you got what you wanted, worm food. What happens if I'm right and you're wrong? Amen. Come on, amen. That's a lot more severe, isn't it? Because if you're wrong, study it out. Say, God, if you're real, reveal me. Guess what? He will. Real crook. And so we have hope. Let's see the last thing, if you would, please. If you would go with me. I hesitate, but let's go to Revelation. I hesitate because I do know we have a world today
that does want to hear about the result of failure. We don't want to F on our schoolwork. We don't want to not get a trophy if we play a sporting event and don't win. We don't like that anymore. We have parents get upset because they didn't get a trophy, so anybody gets a participation trophy. I still remember seeing a commercial about that, and a dad looks at this and says, we took first place. 4 days of, and we took, it says, he went over there and grabbed a magic marker and wrote on it, winner. Handed it to his son. Well, nobody likes to hear it, but in Revelation, if you would please, chapter 20, it says this, and I saw in verse 11 a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead and which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his work. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The book of Daniel says one day all will awake. Everybody on the planet will awake. Everybody. Not, there won't be one grave where there's a dead person in it. All those that got scattered on the Hollywood sign will be brought back together. And they'll all be given an everlasting body. A perfect body. Just in case you didn't know. You're going to get a perfect body. That's not me. But it's going to be like Jesus. When he came back. Perfect body. This world will have no effect on him. You will not die. You won't need eyeglasses. You won't need hearing aids. You won't need hearing aids. Come on, amen. No diseases. Nothing. You'll live forever. Somewhere. We just read where those who do not know Christ, which the Bible calls the dead. You're dead to God. God is life. And without God, you're dead. Which all of us were in our trespasses and sins. But God in his great love toward us sent his son to die for us. Why? So he can raise us up and give us life eternal. Now me, believing in the scriptures and trusting Christ as our Savior and anybody else that has done this, we will be given a body that lives forever up in heaven. Those who do not, the Bible says in Daniel chapter 12 as well as John chapter 5, will spend eternity in the lake of fire in a forever body that will never die. I remember Harvey Nerman, we talked about him in our Sunday school class, who used to be an alcoholic, told me, he goes, I told my preacher when he came and witnessed to a preacher, he said, I told him, man, hell's not that bad. I can handle it for 2,000 or 3,000 years. And the preacher goes, but it says everlasting, forever. He goes, what? Started thinking then, that's a long time, folks. I don't want to spend a day in hell. I don't want to visit it, even if it was a horror film. Come on, amen? Well, I read the things about hell. I don't want to go there. I don't want anybody to go there. That's why I still preach like I do. So all shall awake. All shall answer. Be judged according to the works. So not only is God in our homes and God in our heart, but God's also life in heaven or hell. Listen. No God in hell. That's what the second death is. Separation from God. There's God in heaven. We're going to answer. We're going to be judged. All shall acquire eternal life somewhere. On this resurrection Sunday morning, let us who have believed on the Son of God rejoice that he hath given us eternal life. Amen. Not only eternal life down here, in other words, we have hope, we have peace, we have rejoicing, we have gladness, but also eternal life in heaven with him. What a blessing. Those of you who have not yet received Christ as your Savior, think about it. Don't just brush it off because it may be something you don't want to hear. Because God's not a God of death. He's a God of life. That's what I like about our God. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this opportunity we've had to speak it. I pray that you'll help those that may be here that don't know you, that they'll at least think. May they at least think. I pray that you'll give us strength today as we go throughout this invitation time. Maybe there's someone here that knows Christ as your Savior and need to get baptized scripturally. They need to come forward and say, "Preacher, I need to get baptized. I want to join the church and get going." Maybe, Lord, there's someone that is baptized. They believe that they're baptized scripturally. They need to come and say, "I want to join the church. Get busy. Get involved. Get things going. Keep this church running." I beg of you, Lord, more than anything, that we would please you today, the God of life. In Christ's name we pray.